The Apostle Paul quotes from Isaiah. Yeah, he writes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart or the comprehension of man, that which God has prepared for them that love him. But it doesn't stop there. But he has revealed it unto us by the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are of the ilk of people that are just like David, who is he's writing the Psalm 110, and he's talking about, he's meditating on the greatness and the grandeur of the promise and the purposes of God. You know, I don't know how and when, but he was meditating about it. I was over at the in Bethlehem, and I was preaching over there, and I was in the shepherd's fields. I said, this is where David wrote that great psalm, Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now I can't quote it. But he talks about the moon and the stars, the handiwork of his hands, and so on and so forth. And he goes down, he begins to speak about, but what is man that you even consider us or visited us? And so there's a great expansion in the heart and the mind of David. Yes, he did plenty of things wrong, but there was something deep within him that saw things in the Spirit and responded to God in like measure. And he's writing Psalm 110. But Paul says it may be beyond your eyesight. It may be beyond the audible hearing of your ear. It may be greater than the comprehension of your own heart and mind. But what God is doing is revealing to us by the Spirit, line upon line, precept upon precept, something more of the Christ in us every day. Hallelujah. And he calls us into this realm. Oh, and it's a confrontation, isn't it? Because we're just wanting to go along with that, the words of that song. I'm sorry for coming with my agenda. I'm sorry for, I can't remember all of it. What is it? You can only sing it, right? Oh, no. You know the song. I mean, we limit God. And yes, we are to find, because there's this confrontation that's going to come. It has to inevitably come into our lives. If we're going to begin to react after the Spirit. After all, it's a new man. It's a new covenant. It's a new commandment. It's new. I don't know if David's expressed to you that particular word. It means unprecedented. Never seen before. Not even thought about. We're going to have to get in contact with a different realm of experience. And we are. This is what worship is all about. We can't figure God out, but we can be awed by who God is. And when our spirits begin to interact one with another and into the heavenly dimensions, we see God in clearer dimensions and in higher realities. Praise the Lord. Call unto me. I thank the Lord for those that did break through. Hebrews 11 would be a whole list of them. I think of Moses after 40 years fleeing, walking around the wilderness. I will now turn aside and see this great sight. He was confronted with the reality of God. Who am I going to tell them has sent me, Lord? Tell them I am that I am. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think of Stephen being stoned to death, and he lifts up his eyes. And he says, I see the heavens open. Praise the Lord. I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Boom. It's going to cost us something. There's a confrontation. But something in the Christ beckons to be known. And the unfolding glory of who he is. I think of Simeon coming in that day. Led by the Spirit. Another one, just led by the Spirit. And he held that babe in his arms. Very, very tender. And brother Simeon, saw in one flash of a second. He saw the infant Jesus in his arms, but he saw God's salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now mine eyes have seen your salvation. Now lettest thy servant depart in peace. Hallelujah. Such a triumphant statement of Simeon. I know the Apostle Paul, he said, I know a man, whether he's in the body or out of the body, caught up into the third heaven, seeing things in God. These are real experiences, not just things that happened 2,000 years ago, but here this morning, what say you of the Christ? Abraham rejoiced to see Christ's day. Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, may God lift up our eyes in order to see him in greater ways. Hallelujah. So the call of the Christ, the call into the realms of the Spirit, this is the living point of contact that the Lord is wanting to initiate in our lives, a point of vital union and fellowship and relationship with him through the Spirit. And so we're called to come up higher. Well, that's the call. That's the call. What think ye of the Christ? Too high for us? Never. I can look out over this audience this morning. It's not too high. It is in the heart of God to share and to make himself known to his people. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which you know not. Praise the Lord. Here in, where are we? Whitby? Is this Whitby? Yes. What is Durham? It's a region, okay, all right, so, good. Here in Whitby, Ontario, is not beyond us. God is revealing, not it, he's revealing himself by the Spirit. What think ye of the Christ? Well, let's think about the Christ for the last couple of minutes here this morning. I think this is 2 or 3 days before Jesus went to the cross. I think it's insightful for us to consider that this is what was in the heart and mind and spirit of Jesus, a man in flesh, as he was thinking about these things that were in the scripture and how they were pertaining to him. He was thinking about, and let's turn back to Psalm 110 real quick, because Jesus cuts it off to talk only about the kingdom, but this is what in the spirit David saw. Psalm 110, the Lord shall send the rod, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies thy footstool, which is what Jesus quoted. But he goes on. He says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion so that you can rule in the midst of your enemies. And he doesn't stop there with rulership, but he goes on and says in verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will never repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. These were the ideas that Jesus, as he walked into Jerusalem and as he confronted the scribes and the Pharisees, as he was on those roads leading to Jerusalem, he's gone back and forth to Bethany into Jerusalem every day for the last 6 or 7 days of his life. And these were the things that he was meditating on. Father, how is this? What do you mean by this? What are you going to do? What is my life going to come to? I know what you've written about, and I can see Isaiah 53 and all this, but what does it mean to rule in the midst of my enemies? What does it mean to be made a priest after the order of Melchizedek? You know, I don't know what it is in my humanity, but he was meditating on it. He was considering the greatness of the salvation that the Father was going to take him into. He wasn't only challenging them, he was calling them into this same kind of fellowship of the Spirit, of knowing him. You know, what does it mean for us? This, we now know Jesus has ascended and gone into the heavens and so on and so forth and sitting at the right hand of the Father on high. We know that intellectually. But Paul brings it down to our lives that everything's changed. In Romans chapter 5, he talks about Adam as a head of the Adamic race and then Christ as a head of a whole new race. And it used to be that sin and death had the mastery over him. Sin had the mastery over man and handed him over to death. But now, the Phillips translation says, the whole outlook has changed. Grace is now the preeminent force. Not sin, but grace. Hallelujah. And grace has its purpose in bringing people to righteousness with God and handing them over into eternal life.